Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day that you have given us. A day of blessing. It is a day of praise and thanksgiving and adoration. It is a day to sing unto you. It is a day to open up the Word of the living God and take possession of it by the influence and power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are, all-powerful, all-knowing, everywhere present, and all-sufficient. We thank you that you never change. You're always the same. We can trust you in every situation, at all times, because of that. I pray here in a moment, as we begin to look again into the book of Revelation, that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher. He will reveal to us what we need to understand, what we need to see, and what we need to hear. Lord Jesus, things are happening at a rapid rate, just like you said they would. Yet we still don't know when the rapture is going to take place. There is still time for your mercy and your grace to take action, and we are so thankful for that. It is always there, ready to act in the way it is needed. Father, I pray if there are those here today that are lost without Jesus Christ, that the Holy Spirit will bring conviction of that, and their unbelief will be turned into belief in Jesus. And they will be saved, and they will learn to be a disciple and go out and share the gospel with others. Father, this is your service. You do what you want to with it. Give me the words to say and the right spirit to say them in. I ask this so it will be all to your glory and our growth in Jesus Christ and to the salvation of those that are lost. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen and amen. If you'll take your printout, you'll notice the title, A Strong Angel and a Strange Assignment. We'll be coming out of Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 through 11. Revelation chapter 10, verses 1 through 11 this morning. There's a little note I want you to add under the title, and it goes like this. God rules the future. Thank goodness for that. And God has every detail under control. I'll repeat. God rules the future, and God has every detail under control. Well, let's begin with the introduction this morning. A reading of Revelation reveals at least three things. Number one, things are not what they seem. Although we dwell in a physical reality, an unseen realm also exists, which influences us with supernatural powers each and every day that we are allowed to live. So there's one point in principle that you can write as we begin here this morning, is that we are all influenced by the supernatural every day that God allows us to live. Things are not what they seem. Although we dwell in a physical reality, an unseen realm also exists, which influences our everyday lives. This spiritual realm will become increasingly more visible in the future. Number two, this is a world at war. Since the devil's successful temptation of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3, the battle has continued. It has affected not only human history, it will one day engulf the whole world in deception and also destruction. Number three, we have a crucial role to play. This battle we are in is no place for observers or reporters. Like it or not, our very presence on earth as members of God's redeemed people demands our full throttle participation. Well, let's begin with verses 1 through 4. Then I refers to the Apostle John. Then I, John, saw. Underline the word saw. It means that John is back on earth. He is back on earth. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven. So the question that I think that we have to ask and get an answer to is this mighty angel Christ himself?
Well, the scripture is going to give you the answer. Let's begin exegeting it. Then I, John, saw, as I was back on earth, another. Underline the word another. The word another here means I have seen others of the same kind elsewhere. So John is saying, I have seen angels like the one that I am presenting to you at this very moment. So I'm going to go out and tell you that this mighty angel that we're talking about is not Jesus Christ. You'll notice in John chapter 1, it talks about Jesus being the only begotten Son of God. There is not another like Jesus Christ. But John is saying, I have seen many angels like the one I am talking about right here in this scripture. Then I saw another mighty. Underline the word mighty. The word mighty means strong. It means having power beyond human strength. Strong. Having power beyond human strength. Then I saw another mighty angel. Underline the word angel. And write this down. Christ is never called an angel in the book of Revelation. Christ is never called an angel in the book of Revelation. Then I, John, back on planet Earth, saw another mighty, strong, powerful angel coming down from heaven, clothed in, underline the word in. The word in enhances the angel's appearance. He is a special angel. He is a very high-ranking angel. He is clothed in a cloud. Underline the word cloud. Cloud. This cloud shows the angel's mission is related to judgment. He is clothed with a rainbow. Underline the word rainbow. This is another title of power and authority, also relating to mercy in the midst of judgment. Now, this rainbow is like a halo. It is over his head. And again, referring to a very, very strong and high-ranking angel. And his face was like the sun. Underline the word sun. And you have to ask your question, why was his face like the sun? Because he's been in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is simply reflecting this light that is so powerful that is coming from God himself. He's a reflection of the supernatural glow. And his feet or legs were like columns. Underline the word columns. It also refers to columns as pillars, referring to guidance, protection, and deliverance. So you have legs were like columns of fire. And he had a little book or a scroll open in his hand. He set his right foot, underline the two words, right foot, on the sea. And his left foot, underline those two words, left foot, on the land. As you underline right foot and left foot, here's what it means. Putting your feet on something is a sign that you own it. So Jesus is letting us know through the angel that is representing Jesus Christ and God the Father that it is God who has established ownership of our planet. Now be sure you write this little note down. There is no place in the world where God's word does not apply. There is no place in the world where God's word does not apply. And that's why you're seeing the right foot and the left foot establishing ownership by the living God. So he has the right foot on the sea. His left foot is on the land. Underline the word land. This refers to a pure universal message. So the word of God is universal. It is for the whole world to hear. All right. Left foot, right foot, you have the land, and he shouted. Underline the word shouted. He shouted with a voice of superior importance, with a loud voice like the roaring of a lion, compelling attention and inspiring awe. And when he had shouted out, the seven peals of thunder spoke with their own voices. I'm going to be honest with you. I have researched,
and I have read, I have looked up things in the Greek. I don't know how many books I used as a reference tool, and I cannot come up with an answer of the seven thunders. I'm not going to guess at it. God does not reveal it. No doubt it is still a secret, and He will reveal it at exactly the right time according to His sovereignty and judgments that are taking place. All right? You have the peals of thunder. In fact, the seven peals of thunder spoke with their own voices, uttering their message in very distinct, understandable words. And when the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write. Underline the word write. In other words, at the moment of hearing, I was about to write, but I was stopped. But I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them down. Well, if you'll write this down, maybe we'll have a little better understanding of what we just read. There needs to be the light of more truth. Truth that will come through the writing of the New Testament, especially the writing of the book of Revelation. And when the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken. Now, I did find that the thunder is associated with judgment. So you have to ask yourself, are these judgments so severe that are coming that they could not be written down at the time? God will say, at the right moment of my sovereignty, I will unleash these judgments. But they are very severe at the moment, and I do not want them wrote down. Now, in chapter 10 of Revelation, a strong angel from heaven, that is the third heaven, which is the dwelling place of God, suddenly injects himself into the scene. He is magnificent, and his appearance reaffirms his heavenly origin. Questions. Actually, there are four. You only have three. Number one, has the character of God changed from the days of Noah? The answer is no. Number two, does his grace and mercy endure even in the midst of judgment? The answer is absolutely yes. Number three, does God keep his promises? Yeah, and you better be glad that he does. Now, Putin is not going to be glad that he does, because one day God is going to put a hook in the jaws of Russia and pull her down into great, great judgment himself. All right, here's number four. What shapes your identity? What shapes your identity? Knowing God has saved you and has gone to extravagant lengths to do so. Well, let's turn to the top of page 2. You have verses 5 through 7. Then the angel whom I had seen standing on the sea and the land, take a moment, if you will, to imagine the enormous size of this angel. Some have been talked about to be 500 miles in height. Well, let me just say this. You have an angel that puts one foot on the seas. You have one angel, and the same angel puts his foot on the land. And you can imagine the size that an angel would have to be to do that task right there. All right? Then the angel whom I had seen standing on the sea and the land, no problem seeing this one. And remember, this was just one of a great number of angels that he had seen like this. So, secondly, think about spiritual warfare. Think about the size of satanic demons. Think about the size of God's angels. And so here they come together in a supernatural conflict. So you can imagine these enormous size angels. You have the demons also. They are fighting
something that is very supernatural. And that's why we need to understand there are supernatural influences fighting in our lives each and every day also. Then the angel whom I had seen standing on the sea and the land raised his right hand to swear an oath to heaven. Why is he swearing an oath to heaven? Because this is where God is. And he swore an oath by the name of him who lives forever and forever. Who is that? It is the living God, also Jesus Christ, who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, that there will be delay no longer. But when it is time for the trumpet call of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, then the mystery, underline the word mystery, and write the word secret. So we're talking about something that has been a secret, something previously hidden but now revealed. It is a secret of God, only he knows about it, him and the Holy Trinity. That is, his hidden purpose and plan is finished as he announced the gospel, the good news, to his servants, the prophets. Now hear God, the Creator, who made heaven, earth, and sea, received an oath that there would be no longer any delay. And he means what he says. When it is time for more severe judgment, it is going to come. There is no negotiating what we're reading right here in front of us. At this point, it would be wise to recall chapter 6, verse 10, when the tribulation martyrs cried out. Tribulation, this is 7 years. When will the tribulation take place? After the rapture of the church. It is a literal 7 years. Now, when you talk about martyrs, what are you talking about? Are you talking about human beings that were killed? Yes, we are. So we're talking about human beings that were killed. They are martyred because of their faith in Christ and their witness concerning Jesus Christ. Now, I'm looking at martyrs. I'm looking at what it is telling me. If you have been martyred, then you have been physically killed here in this context. Where did these people that accepted Jesus Christ and they paid a price for it, they were physically killed, where did they go immediately? Well, the Apostle Paul says they immediately went into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's something else I'm noticing here. These martyrs cried out. What does that mean? They have a voice to speak. They have a voice to speak. How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? So do they know what's taking place on planet Earth? The answer is absolutely yes at this moment. I will also tell you, when you think about heaven, one day there will be no remembrance of all of this, or it would never be heaven. Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody says, if I have a husband that died as an unbeliever, it will be as though he was never born. If I have a wife, it will be the same for her. If she dies without Christ, it will be as though she was never born. You see, heaven is going to be heaven. God's going to make sure of that. He's going to wipe away all the tears that could be shed. He'll wipe away even the memory of what could be remembered right there. So we see right here, heaven is going to be a very heavenly experience. I'll also say this for you. You're not going to spend an eternity up there in heaven. It says the new Jerusalem is going to come down out of heaven and it is going to settle down on the new earth. Okay, I want you to understand that, because I have people that come to me as Christians and say, I can't wait to spend an eternity in heaven. I said, that's not going to happen. If you die right now as a believer in Christ, you do go to heaven. We understand that, don't we? But when it's all said and done, the New Jerusalem comes down, what does it say? Out of heaven, and settles down on the new earth that God is going to give us. and it reads like it's going to go back to that Edenic state. It is going to be absolutely beautiful and enjoyable. All right, let's go back to the printout, if you will. So these that have been killed as a result of accepting Christ as their personal Savior, they are in the presence of Jesus Christ. They're having a little conversation here. How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Earth dwellers who are unbelievers and who are living in a state of rebellion. So the mighty angel of Revelation chapter 10 announces that God's response to those prayers will soon come to an end. The final number of the redeemed, those saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, will be fulfilled, and the judgment, this is a judgment that is coming from God Himself, therefore it is non-negotiable, it cannot be stopped. The judgment of the wicked will be complete. Now I have something I want to read to you here. Because John's readers were seeing family members killed, friends beat up, terrible things take place, he writes, there's coming a time, and he promises that, and it's going to happen, when all of the questions you have and all of the pain you're experiencing will be alleviated. All right, back to the printout. So Revelation 10 announces that God's response to those prayers will soon come to an end, and the final number of the redeemed will be fulfilled. That's a promise of God. And judgment of the wicked will be complete, also a promise. Look at verses 8 through 11. Then the voice which I heard from heaven, I heard again speaking to me and saying, go, take the book, the scroll, which is open in the hand of the angel who is standing on the sea and on the land. So I went up to the angel and told him to give me the little book. And he said to me, take it and eat it. Underline the two words, take it. The words take it means take possession of this message of salvation and this message of judgment. Take it and eat it. Underline the two words, eat it. Two meanings here. Number one, it is to make its influence felt. Take the message of salvation and make it felt. Take the message of the judgment that is coming from God Himself and absorb this mentally. Second, make the Bible a deeper part of your life. Take God's Word into your deepest being. Make the message a part of who you are. The message to the church is take the possession of the gospel. Take the possession of the gospel message, again, of salvation and also judgment. And it will make your stomach bitter. Underline the word bitter. It means painful. Painful because God's wrath is going to be poured out. And He said to me, take it and eat it. It will make your stomach bitter, very painful. But in your mouth it will be as sweet as honey. So I took the little book from the angel's hand and ate it. And in my mouth it was as sweet as honey. But once I had swallowed it, my stomach was bitter. Then they said to me, you must prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and languages and kings. So John is given a strange but significant assignment. Take the book from the hand of the strong angel and eat it. Question number one. What had John learned by this time in his life? John had learned to obey. Obey instantly the strangest commands of the Lord. If God came and walked in this door and told you to take your Bible and take a big bite out of it, would you do that? Well, first you would look at each other and say, did you hear what I heard? Brother Terry said the angel is saying take the Bible and bite a big chunk out of it. And I want you to chew it and then I want you to swallow it. Don't you think I'll choke on it? If God told you to take the Bible, bite a chunk out of it, eat it, and then swallow it, would you not trust Him to do what He told you, even though it was a very strange assignment? How long would it take you to obey something you're not sure of? Something you've never done before? We've all been there, I think, right? John had learned to obey instantly the strangest commands of the Lord. Here's the point. The consumption of the scroll was a symbol of complete acceptance. Complete acceptance of the prophetic message. So John is to prophesy again concerning many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. From this point on, the judgments coming from God would become decidedly more severe. And the brief interlude in Revelation 10, why is there an interlude? And what does it mean to have an interlude? Does it mean to stop, pause? Think about what you have just heard. Think about how you need to make application of it. So here's an interlude. Is the church age an interlude? Is the age of grace an interlude? Not according to the Jews, but according to us Gentiles and really Jews, it is a moment to say, before the tribulation, there is a time of grace. There is a time of mercy. There is a time for you to stop and pause and think about what you have been hearing concerning the gospel message of salvation and the judgment of Almighty God. Let's continue. From this point on, the judgments would become decidedly more severe. You need to understand that. The brief interlude in Revelation 10 reinforces the fact that things in this world are not what they seem. You ought to be getting it by now. Page 3. At the top of page 3, believers know there's a war going on, and that at any moment the sporadic attacks and brief skirmishes in the battle between good and evil will erupt into the worst spiritual and physical conflict in history. Yet God emphasizes another truth in Revelation chapter 10. The Apostle John had a crucial role to play, proclaiming the mystery of God, or the secret of God, to many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. You spoke it once, speak it again. Write down what I say. Like John, we have roles to play in God's ultimate plan. Here's some more notes you don't have. Now in this moment, God is offering you mercy. Trusting Christ now means liberty, freedom, salvation, redemption, adoption, justification, forgiveness, glorification, and the joy of worshiping God forever. If you don't trust Christ, you will regret this missed opportunity every moment of your long eternity in hell. Back to the printout, please. Point 2. Each of us has been given a crucial mission to share the good news of salvation with the world. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Look down at the bottom of the page. It is printed for you. Matthew 28, 19 and 20. And it says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Help the people to learn of Jesus Christ, who He is, what He has done. He is coming back. He is going to judge the unbeliever at the great white throne judgment, the judgment of damnation. There is no negotiation there. Every unbeliever will stand before Jesus Christ. All judgment has been given to him by God the Father, and he will judge every human being. Every believer will stand at the judgment seat of Christ.
every unbeliever at the great white throne judgment. It is a beautiful sounding judgment, but I promise you, you don't want to be there. You will stand there for a moment. How long, I do not know. The Bible does not say. But when God is done at the great white throne judgment, then every unbeliever is going to be cast into the lake of fire. I'll say it again in reference to Catholicism. There is no purgatory. After you die, you do not get another chance to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. So the question is, Terry, if I go into the 7-year tribulation, will I have an opportunity to be saved? Rare. It will be rare. And if you are, by the grace of God, you are saved, then you will, more than likely, the Bible says, give your life for Jesus. Go, therefore, and that's a command, and make disciples of all the nations in the world. And what did I say? The Word of God is for everyone in the world. Help the people to learn of me. Very specific. Singular. Me is Jesus Christ. What's one scripture you know well? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he says, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again, non-negotiable. Amen. Believe. Put your trust and confidence in me, Jesus Christ. Appointed the Savior of all mankind in eternity past by divine decree coming from the Holy Trinity. Believe in me and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Does baptism change you? Does it save you? When are you to be baptized? After salvation. After belief in Jesus Christ. Teaching them. Where are you going to teach from? The Word of the living God. The Word of God will not return void. That's why you teach them God's Word. Teach them to observe everything that I, Jesus, have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance and on every occasion, even to the end of the age. And that last statement, we, as God's people, redeemed, saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we, the body of Christ, are to live our lives as disciples. What is a disciple? A disciple is a learner of Jesus Christ. A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. A disciple is one who is discipled by the Word of the living God. He is to live according to Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled, divinely enabled, divinely persuaded by the Holy Spirit of God. We do exist in a physical realm, but remember we also exist in a spiritual realm also. And there are those influences that are influencing us in a supernatural way in all situations and at all times. So therefore, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the controlling of the Holy Spirit in our lives is absolutely essential. You cannot live the Christian life without the control of the Holy Spirit. You cannot please the Lord Jesus Christ without the control of the Holy Spirit. You can't make application properly of the Word of God without the control of the Holy Spirit in your life, child of God. So we are to live our lives as disciples and equip others to do the same. We must learn to obey God's living Word. and let it live in us, that His will be done, that you and I will be like that strong, mighty angel. Our face will shine and glow like the sun. Why? Because we've been in the presence of Almighty God. And Christian, I say this to all of you today. It's worth being in the presence of God and staying in the presence of God. There's a glow about you that nobody can explain but only you, giving you an opportunity to share Jesus Christ or to hand out a Gideon Bible, which is so precious in the hands that have no understanding of God whatsoever. Thank you for what you do as Gideons. I continue to praise you. I continue to thank you. I'll continue to bug this church to give all that it can, and we can purchase as many Gideon Bibles as we can, because Jesus Christ is coming back, and we need to get the Word of God into the hands of as many people as we can. And pray for Ukraine, if you will. It is sad to see women and children that are being killed and being slaughtered. If you saw the mass grave, a big ditch that was being done, and bodies were being thrown into that ditch in body bags. And I know that was a hard thing to do. It probably reminded a lot of you of what you have heard about the Holocaust and was taking place, and how horrible that was at that time. So I pray as I study this. I hate it for Ukraine. I really do. I pray for the Christians in Ukraine, and I'm praying for the lost in Ukraine, that what is taking place right now, and God is in control of it, is bringing the lost to Jesus Christ. They're seeing Christians at work. They're seeing God at work through these people, and they're seeing that they have something that they don't have at the moment. So my prayer is, dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, even though it is horrible what's taking place in the Ukraine and around it, we pray that what is taking place that is so horrible is going to bring people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray this in His name and all to His glory. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for who You are. We thank You for Your truth and Your honesty, that You don't hide the judgments in Your Word. You reveal them. You tell us they're non-negotiable, that they are coming. They are extremely severe. And Father, we'll not be able to outrun them in any way, to outfight the supernatural forces. We are there at the mercy of Almighty God. We are there praying that the grace of God will act whenever that 7-year tribulation begins to take place. We're not going to give up. We're going to stand and we're going to fight. And we're going to pray as long as it takes for those in Ukraine. Father, I pray, open the ears and the minds and the hearts of the lost people in Ukraine. And open them in Russia, that they are seeing that evil, what it can do, evil personified, has no conscience. It will kill babies. It will kill children. It has no thought of good in it. Lord Jesus, take care of Putin. Let him know You're the one that owns everything and is in charge of everything. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Will you stand?